Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Writers Guild of America leaders approve a contract with the studios and declare the almost five-month-long strike over. CBS Los Angeles reporter Tom Waite.
The membership still has to approve the deal, but the Guild's two governing bodies from the East and West both unanimously approved it. So now the members, 11,000 of them, will get the details of the agreement, and they will have a chance to vote on it. It is widely expected that they will approve this tentative agreement.
There are currently no negotiations set between SAG-AFTRA actors and the Alliance of Studios, streaming services, and producers. It was a short visit, but one that marked a first, a sitting president hitting the picket line with union auto workers. More from CBS's Skylar Henry.
The president spent less than half an hour at GM's Willow Run Redistribution Center.
Our president chose to stand up with workers in our fight for economic and social justice.
Mr. Biden's visit to the parts warehouse comes as he gears up for the 2024 presidential race and needs to shore up union support.
Former President Trump will skip a GOP presidential debate tomorrow night and, like Mr. Biden, head to Michigan to speak with auto workers. A man whose wife owns a Bronx daycare where a child died earlier this month after exposure to fentanyl has been arrested. CBS's Jerika Duncan has the latest.
The husband of the Bronx daycare owner was taken into custody on a bus in Sinaloa, Mexico, after a manhunt that lasted more than a week. Prosecutors say Felix Herrera Garcia was seen leaving the daycare on surveillance video carrying two shopping bags after being tipped off by his wife, Gray Mendez, that police were on the way.
Baltimore police are searching for a suspect in the death of a young tech executive. More from CBS's Jim Krasula.
26-year-old tech CEO Pava LaPere, who started the company EchoMap, was found dead in her Baltimore home Monday. Police say there were signs of blunt force trauma. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott.
Pava was a very young, talented, devoted Baltimorean.
Police are searching for a 32-year-old man in connection with the woman's death.
A Texas law banning drag shows in front of minors has been permanently blocked from going into effect by a federal judge. Reporter Chris Fox has more from Austin.
U.S. District Judge David Hittner ruling that the Texas drag show ban was unconstitutional, violating free speech and expression rights of drag performers. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is expected to appeal the decision.
The Milwaukee Brewers win their third NL Central title in six seasons, despite a 4-1 loss to the last-place St. Louis Cardinals and with the help of a come-from-behind win by the Atlanta Braves. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride.
Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Well, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Not a new mom yet. Not as far as we know. So we haven't gotten any word yet. Kristen's just, her last show was on Friday. Now she's on maternity leave. So we're just waiting for word. And I'm not going to bug her. We've kind of agreed that we're not going to pester her or annoy her. She will tell us when she's ready to tell us. But I'm really excited today. My co-host for Tuesdays for the next couple of months, the one and only Dominic Salvia from Dom and Crouch on Devil's Advocates. Thanks so much for joining
me. Hey, Jane, it is my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's always so much fun.
It is fun.
You're a legend in the radio, so when my legend friends ask me to do something, it's absolutely going to happen.
Thank you. You know I'm not paying you extra.
Yes, I know more.
Just so we're clear. You and the wife just got back, you and the lovely Stephanie just got back from a little getaway to Colorado.
Yeah.
How was that?
Sunny Colorado. Oh, it's so sunny. I come back and it's, you know, dreary out here today. Yeah. It was a wonderful trip. You know, we usually try to get out in September. Our anniversary is in September.
Oh.
This week will be 19 years.
Congratulations.
Of wedded bliss.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
And also Steph does events. And so her summer season, she's very busy during the summer. Just
sure.
Capped off with Nightlight at Joy Engine on Mitchell Street. So lots of planning, lots of things going into the summer. So we like to get out and, you know, wander around the mountains and clear our heads a little bit.
Yep.
And get a little humble, man. It is beautiful out there. Went to Denver, went to Estes Park from there, and, you know, hiked in the mountains and, you know, 3 miles up, you know, 1,000 feet and back down again. It's a lot of walking around.
Right.
And then we got some time in Denver too. The city got the city action. Denver's a wonderful, beautiful town. A lot of art district there is amazing. So it was just it was a great trip.
Nice.
Kind of quick Thursday through last night, but nice to get out and clear the head a little bit.
And you said this Thursday, the 28th, is your anniversary?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my anniversary.
No way. Is it really?
Yes. Paul and I will be married 23 years.
Oh, well, happy anniversary.
And to you and Stephanie as
all right.
Well.
We'll have to go out and party.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to start things off this morning talking about the Republican efforts to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, even though she hasn't even heard a case yet or really done anything.
I mean, how
yet.
Dare she beat Dan Kelly in an election by 200,000 votes? I mean, that cannot stand.
Well, she's just squeaked by with that win. It was so right. It was such a nail biter. But I couldn't help but stumble upon this morning. It's an opinion piece by Carlton Huffman in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I just think it's worth a share. So we're just going to share this article again from JS Online. As a Republican operative who played a humble role in the election of the last three conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I have some thoughts on the proposed push to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
Ooh, do tell.
Yes, thoughts. As regional director of the WOW counties, of course, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, I did my part to help Rebecca Bradley defeat Joanne Kloppenberger in 2016. In 2017, I was witness to the layup that was Chief Justice Annette Ziegler's win. In 2019, I was part of the team pouring its heart and soul into seeing Brian Hagedorn would win a seemingly impossible race. It has been the labor of my professional life to see a conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. However, it is exactly the principles of small government conservatism that drives me to oppose the impeachment of Protasiewicz.
Jane, he goes on, make no mistake, despite my wish for Dan Kelly to reclaim his spot on the court, he was defeated in a free and fair election.
Thank you for that.
Are you sure about that?
Right.
The voters of Wisconsin spoke in decisive fashion, and their will ought to be respected. It is this logic that from afar in 2010 and 2012 led me to respect former Governor Scott Walker. He was duly elected and committed no act that justified the futile 2012 recall attempt. Now, let me just pause for a moment right here.
Yes, and please.
Reflect on that moment in time. Again, this op-ed piece by Carlton Huffman. When Walker was recalled, and I took a lot of grief from my liberal and progressive friends because I voted for Barrett in the general election,
yep.
Mayor of Milwaukee at the time. And my position was, well, yeah, while certainly I don't agree necessarily with Walker, but, you know, it's a legislative piece and, you know, his elections have consequences, right? And he didn't do anything, quote unquote, that deserved, in my humble opinion at the time, a recall. We're going to recall everyone sometime, everybody when they put forth legislation or sign legislation that we don't like, it's a recall. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
It should be more for, you know, illegal, breaking the laws, you know, corruption, those kinds of things.
Right.
Well, while I look back on that now, what we didn't know then, when he was certainly justified for a recall, he was coordinating with third party groups. He had a secret router in his executive office in Milwaukee County. He had people working on staff, working during county time on his campaign, coordinating with third party groups for you know, millions and millions of dollars. So while that wasn't specifically part of the recall, that election, that fact alone, in my mind, would justify a recall, but that wasn't the reason at the moment.
No, it wasn't.
So that was after the fact.
Yeah.
But let us continue on with the conservative. Seeing the light here, he goes on that someone who was on the receiving end of an abuse of the political process could now lend his name to a similar proposed abuse is galling. Protasiewicz has not ruled on a case.
Nope.
And the excuse that she was obviously supported by partisan Democrats is no excuse when the three justices I worked to support were openly supported by the state GOP.
No kidding.
There is a disease that has afflicted right-wing politicians since President Obama's re-election in 2012. The belief that outcomes are rigged against those right of center has become an article of faith. If it's not the media's, it's the university system brainwashing children. And if it's not Madison's that's hopelessly tilting the state, it's voter fraud amongst those people in Milwaukee. Those people.
Back in the days of Reagan and Bush, she continues, we had confidence in the power of our ideas to win. That confidence once shared by individuals like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who to his credit stood up against the machinations of those who tried to overturn the 2020 election. Unfortunately, many of those individuals are silent in the face of the MAGA mob, or worse, attempt to placate the mob. This is not the GOP I joined as a teenager. It's not the GOP that can win the confidence of Wisconsinites as it did just 7 short years ago. In the home state of its birth, the Republican Party has a choice I fear has already been made. We can choose to respect the process and will of the voters, let the natural effect of hard left-wing policies play out, and reclaim power at the ballot box, or we can take the path of Viktor Orban in Hungary and other strongmen and use victory at all cost as our North Star. The latter course always ends in tears for all involved, including those who would attempt to bend the moral arc of the universe against justice and right. Republicans can win again in Wisconsin, but not if they choose to impeach Protasiewicz. If they take that course, 2024 will see Wisconsin once again turn blue, and they will only have themselves to blame.
I don't mean to interrupt here, but did I hear that correctly? Robin Voss stood up? Didn't he allow millions of dollars to be spent investigating, quote unquote? If he stood up, he would have said, no, deal with it. Move on.
I think that's a point there, yes.
Yeah. So, and Popcorn as, King, take a knee.
And as Dominic pointed to, sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you omit.
Right.
So this is an opinion piece. Again, his name is Carlton Huffman, former grassroots director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, but it's an op-ed in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
And I can't disagree with him.
It's hard to, right? And to his credit, it's good to see Republicans of seemingly good faith, again, may not agree politically, but you know, you rely on the process. You work the process. That's what you do in a democracy. We have ground rules. We have things, how they've been done. You know, some things are rules. Some things are tradition, you know, and some things are legislative laws. And I get that you always want to push and do what you can to maximize your efficiency to get your side, your team elected.
Sure.
But when people elect Protasiewicz by 200,000 votes, she hasn't even ruled on a case, and you're going to push this forward, this affliction of this disease that is in the Republican Party, it is willing. It is a willing, Robin Voss, they are willing to go along with this. You know, it's a disease is something that you can't fight against. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily, because Robin Voss, these Republicans, they could turn, they could not do this.
They can
do other things than try to impeach Protasiewicz, which they could. Hell, if they're not winning on their policies and their legislative agenda, they could change those things. But no, they don't change those things. I mean, look at the abortion law here in the state of Wisconsin. You know what I mean? A perfect example.
Yes.
Women are second-class citizens, and the Republicans, they're fine with that. They lose elections because of this policy, but they don't look at it and say, well, maybe we should change our policy. Oh, of course not.
No.
We have to what? Try to subvert, try to, you know, make it harder for people to go vote. And that is not, if there was something being done, if there was some real games being played in the electoral system, and because of that, the Republicans, who they think have the majority of the people behind them, the silent majority, then if that's the case, they should want more people to vote.
For sure.
Because it would reflect their will and the will of their policies and their supporters. But they don't, because number one, people don't want those policies necessarily. I mean, taxes are taxes. I mean, Republicans' answer to everything, lower taxes.
That is their answer for everything.
I mean, the abortion, right? Right now.
Give her a tax credit.
Right,
yes, that's going to solve everything.
The fetus, two cells clumped together, you get a tax break. Congratulations.
Right. Not that there aren't issues with that whole thing.
I know. The whole thing is just...
But you're right. Their policies are not popular, and their policies have not been popular. And rather than change their policies to reflect what the electorate wants, they find different ways to go around the system, to alter the system, to game the rules in their favor so they can continue to stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I don't hear you because I don't have to.
Better ideas and better candidates, as Robin Voss would say. But of course, the gerrymander is an issue. And this, of course, abortion and gerrymandering is exactly what Protasiewicz is going to eventually rule upon.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to check in, call and or text on this op-ed in today's Journal Sentinel about why the GOP should not impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz. We'd love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beats? beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers ending, we'll see clouds and patchy fog around the area. 59 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog, we'll see quite a few clouds around. Chance of showers, especially in the late day. Highs near 68. Right now, it's 61.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt and Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, in 2003, we definitely attacked the wrong country and for the wrong reasons. You know, we could have attacked Iran in 2003 when they were a lot weaker and their nuclear program was really limited to Natanz, Bashir, Iraq, and Isfahan, really those four places. Now it's all over the country. I don't know how a conflict with Iran would play out. No one really does. You know, they've got missiles. They have the Hezbollahs in northern Israel. And, you know, we said at the time that this is going to create, you know, Iran's going to get a nuke and because we attacked the wrong country. And what do you think Saudi Arabia is going to do? You know, what do you think United Arab Emirates are going to do? Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, all those countries. And we're seeing now exactly, you know, all that play out, the nuclearization of the Middle East. And, you know, at the time, the Israelis, they advocated that we attack Iran instead of Iraq, although both were enemies and they definitely supported, you know, either attacking either country. And Saudi Arabia, they're a medieval country. I mean, they just executed, I think, 82 people at the same time. And, they're nasty. And they have a significant Shiite population around the oil fields. And they're horribly oppressed. Anyone, any kind of dissent is horribly suppressed. And you mentioned that Mohammed bin Salman is somewhat open. He's not open. I don't think he's open at all. I think he succumbed to pressure of female Saudi dissidents when they protested that they couldn't drive and he finally allowed them to drive. Oh my God, we'll give them a medal. And what does he do now? As soon as they instituted that policy, Matt, they put them all in prison and their conditions deteriorating. Everyone's really, really, really worried about them. The conditions are horrible. And, you know, again, Saudi Arabia is definitely not a country it can be trusted at all or trusted with nukes. They don't support the United States at all. Biden tried to, when inflation was so much significantly higher, Biden tried to get the Saudis to get OPEC, and they control OPEC largely, to increase production. Anyway, I can [S2] Right. [S1] Go on, but I dominate the show.
Yeah, no, Dave, those are excellent comments. I agree with them. And I'm going to say one more thing. The United States has to maintain dominance. Now, we want the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords are a great thing. And as a result, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, actually, I think Morocco and Sudan actually signed on. And the point is to drag everyone else in, kicking and screaming or whatever they do. We have great relations right now with Jordan, although they're not in the Abraham Accords. We have okay relations with Egypt. We cannot introduce nuclear weapons in the Middle East. We can't do it. Israel has nuclear weapons. They're responsible about how they maintain them, and they don't use them. Iran is getting nuclear weapons. I agree with you. George W. Bush should not have attacked Iraq. That was a fake. That was a fake because many people don't remember. Okay, 9/11 happens. He went down in the polls. And then the talk shows, or the late night shows, I should say, the late night comedy shows, they had one of them, and this is Jay Leno, showed a limousine coming up, and it says the president is approaching. He gets out, and there's this huge cloud of white powder, because he'd used cocaine, and he admitted in an interview when they asked him if he had used it, he said, this is George W. Bush. He said, not since my father was elected vice president. Well, his father was elected vice president in 1980 when George W. Bush was 34. So he used nose candy till 1980. And he was really bad in the polls. So 9/11 comes along, he attacks Iraq. Saddam Hussein was not responsible for 9/11. Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. And that was a fake by George W. Bush. He lied about it. That's exactly what he did. He had our ambassador to Kuwait, April Glaspie, tell Saddam Hussein, well, if he invaded Kuwait, we probably wouldn't do anything. That was a lie. That was a trick. That was a trap. He went in, and then suddenly we attacked him. I agree with you. We could have attacked Iran. One of the problems, I've always thought about this, and I've talked to one nuclear scientist about it. You take North Korea, and you take Iran. What if we just bomb the living hell out of both of them, their nuclear facilities, kill all their leaders, and denuclearize them? And he said that would be a bad idea. And the reason he said, and he was right about one of them with North Korea, is, you know, their capital is something like 35 miles from South Korea, and they have a border with China. But Iran is not so heavily invested in by Russia and China in terms of borders. And one of these days, if they frankly develop a nuclear weapon and look like they're about to engage it, Israel will bomb them. And Israel is our strong ally. So the bottom line, I don't want to get dragged in. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about this as bluntly as I can. No nukes for Saudi Arabia. At least no nukes for Saudi Arabia. Call our senators, call congressmen. They react to pressure. Write them a note, send them an email saying, we do not want nuclear power to Saudi Arabia. Our sailors were murdered by them in Florida and Pensacola in 2019. Almost 3,000, 2,950 or so people were murdered on 9/11. No nukes, no nuclear power, no lying about inspectors by Saudi Arabia. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The entertainment writer strike officially ends at 12:01 tonight. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Tom Waite.
The way the Writers Guild leadership reacted to this, the language they used, calling the deal exceptional, is very rare for them to use language like that. So it's clear that they felt very good about this deal.
President Biden spoke to striking auto workers on the picket lines near Detroit today.
Heard me say it many times. Wall Street didn't build the country. The middle class built the country. Unions built the middle class.
And the husband of the owner of a daycare in New York City where a one-year-old died of fentanyl exposure earlier this month was arrested today in Mexico, says CBS's Jerika Duncan.
As horrifying as this story is, it could have been a lot worse. The source tells CBS New York that those three children who were hospitalized thankfully have recovered.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th, at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome back to Metflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Donald Trump actually committed another felony yesterday when he attempted to purchase a handgun. And and I don't know if he ended up purchasing it or not, but I went on and took a look at the form 4473 because I filled them out before when I made firearm purchases. But it actually says in there, if you're under indictment, you cannot buy a firearm. And also, you know, and for another little tidbit, I saw out there that even in the states where marijuana is legal, you cannot buy a firearm, and because it's against federal law. So Lauren Boebert should make sure that there was not marijuana in the vape cartridge that she was enjoying at the showing of Beetlejuice. But I'm just wondering if Donald Trump, and if anybody tried to provide Donald Trump with a firearm at this point in time, they'd be committing a felony as well, if I understand what I read correctly.
Yeah, let me clear that up. That's an excellent point. And just so everybody knows, Donald Trump is, you know, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. He posed at a gun shop saying, I want to buy one of those. And it was a Glock. It's a gold Glock, gold plated or whatever. And it has this picture on it. It's a Trump special, they call it. So here's the law on it. They're prosecuting Hunter Biden for this. They're prosecuting Hunter Biden for buying a gun when he was a drug addict. You can't buy it when you're a drug addict, and you can't buy it when you have even been indicted for a felony. So the way they snuck out of it, they pose that way, and all of the supporters go, oh, wow, that's great. He's sticking it to us. No, because then his hacks, his campaign spokesman just came out for crooked Donald Trump and said he didn't actually buy it. He admired it. He held it. He said he'd like one, but he left without buying it. Frankly, he was lucky he did, because the guy who would really be in trouble would be the store owner. And so for selling it to him. So that's the way they sneak out of this stuff. They're not about to commit harakiri. But the truth is, yeah, they should not have sold them one. And he goes right. This is so immature. The guy's crooked. He's on the take. He's a Russian agent. He's going to pull us out of NATO, divide the country, destroy our democracy. But the clown can't help himself. Crooked, lying Donald Trump can't help himself brushing up against doing another felony and then kind of stepping back. And it was unbelievably sad, unbelievably juvenile. Okay, I want to get to this government shutdown again. Now, this is we've been beating this horse for a couple of days now. Well, the Pentagon just issued a statement, a really great statement. And it said that if this shutdown goes through, and this is something that I alluded to when I talked the other day about all of the bad effects of the shutdown, but they point out, it says over 1 million military members and civilian employees of the military are at risk of going without pay if they're furloughed or if they are told not to go to work and then it's unlawful of them to come back. Or frankly, if they even stay and they don't get paid. The Pentagon went on to say, this just came in, it will have a huge impact on our readiness. It'll have repercussions across the globe. Military families with children and mortgages will be badly hurt. And they mention Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea taking advantage of this. In 2018, the last major shutdown, the long one, Congress passed a law at the same time that said that military personnel and military contractors working for the military would be paid. They did not do that this time. One Republican congresswoman put a bill in, but there's no movement on it at all. Right now, let's see, today is the 26th, my brother Alex's birthday, 26. Today is the 26th of September. In 4 days, if the government shuts down, not only will many military families, and the Pentagon said up to a million military members, and they have their own families, and civilian military employees may not get paid, but food stamps, they changed the name of it, but food assistance to vulnerable people stops. These people in the Republican hierarchy are really sadistic, because you can make your point, and they have points to make, and I'll be happy to talk about them, and any responsible Republican calls the station, I enjoy talking to them, about what to do at the border. I agree. There are some things that we should do at the border. What to do with a lot of things, in education and otherwise. But to do this to the most vulnerable people in our society, poor people who need food, military families, and these are not generals and admirals' military families. These are privates. These are sailors. These are E1s and E2s. They have a spouse, a couple of kids. They have a mortgage. What, the bank that holds the mortgage, that's fine. You don't have to pay, what, for a couple of months? Government's good for it? No. Some banks will do that. Very few, and a lot of them won't. A lot of them won't. Now, where are we on it right now? McCarthy gave the House 4 days off. So they sat around, kind of twiddling their thumbs. They come back. They're back today. The Senate has put in a bill, a clean continuing resolution called a CR, that's stripped of any weird stuff, any baggage. It's just pure money. It doesn't even have anything for Ukraine. Supposedly to appease the people in the Republican caucus who love Russia. They say they hate Ukraine. They don't hate Ukraine. They love Russia. The Russians are like them. The Russians are like them. Crooked as a dog's hind leg. That's the way they are. And now it looks like there's something like, they say 10, I think it's more like 6 or 7, will not agree to any continuing resolution, no matter what. They want to shut the government down. They want to shut the government down. Now, let's be obvious here. The entire Senate, bipartisan, is for this thing, this continuing resolution. All 213 Democrats would support it. McCarthy needs 5 more votes. And he has 221 votes, supposedly. But if 5 or 6 of them won't do it, he only has 214 Republicans, 15 Republicans. So he needs 3 more votes, whatever he needs. This isn't complicated. And then he goes to Hakeem Jeffries, and he says, all right, Hakeem, I need 3 or 4 votes. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about that? And then it's taken care of. What he's afraid of is that he'll lose his speakership. He's not going to lose his speakership. One of his principal allies, a guy named Graves down in Louisiana, said, you know, I'm getting tired of these right-wing types. I'm going to put in a motion to vacate the chair myself just to smoke them out. Everybody will vote. So what are they going to do? Not vote for him? Not have a speaker? They're not going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. All the Democrats in the first ballot will vote for Hakeem Jeffries. They'll go another 15 ballots. That is how sick, cancerous the Republican Party has become. Go to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jean. What's in your mind today?
Hi, great show. Thank you, Matt, for all the information. I got to add one more thing besides the sick and cancerous. It's dangerous and anti-American, anti-democracy. They want to be in the show there, but they don't give one iota of what they're doing. They have not. These people who are holding this up and hurting our country have not did one thing positive to correct any issues that they have in our country besides just hurt everybody, stop everything, chaos, just lunacy. So I hope people will remember that, and I hope they call their representative because Wisconsin congressmen, the Republicans are right along with them. Some of the stuff they've come up with. So take a look at it, folks, because you really need to call and tell them to do their gal-dang job or get the heck out. Thank you, Matt, and keep up the great work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gene. That's terrific. And, you know, I'd say you take a look at our congressmen, the Republicans. Tiffany and Fitzgerald are exactly like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gosar and Matt Gaetz. But the other three, what, you guys pretend you're what, moderates or something? You pretend you're moderates and you're standing by and let the government get shut down? You're not going to McCarthy and say, McCarthy, get as many Republican votes as you can. Get 213, 14 of them. Then you what, need 4 more? Do the math, head count. And then you go over and you get 4 moderate Democrats. Get Brendan Boyle out of Pennsylvania. Get some folks from New York, California. There's plenty of them. They won't do it. They won't do it. And if this happens, if this shutdown happens this coming, well, Saturday or Sunday, this is a different international scene than it's been in the past. We have adversaries like Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran that are pushing a lot harder than they did before. This is potentially very dangerous. It's demoralizing our military. And then don't get me started on Tommy Tuberville. Don't get me started on Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville is a chicken hawk. He never served in the military. He's afraid of the military. Crooked Donald Trump is a chicken hawk. He's actually a draft dodger. In my generation, you had to serve, but you found a way to get around the draft. He found a way, he said he had bone spurs, so he could hang around the nightclubs in New York and try to move in on the girlfriends of guys who were in Vietnam. And that's really what the guy did. The guy's a bad guy. So here's how it goes. You have a chicken hawk, Trump, saying that General Milley should be executed. You have another chicken hawk, Gosar, down in Arizona, saying that Milley should be hung. And then you have Tuberville in Alabama, another chicken hawk, saying he's not going to permit what? Who is he? Was he God? Permit the promotions of, now it's going to be upwards of 600 flag officers by December. Our army is 25% under in its recruitment, goals. And you got three chicken hawks. Two of them want to kill the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they don't get prosecuted? Where are the prosecutors? And the chicken hawk down in Alabama, Tuberville? You know, there are 99 other senators. What are you doing? What in God's name are you doing? What do you think, you're in Skull and Bones or something? You think what? We're going to go quick to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. We're coming up on a break, but I want to get to you, Joe of Madison.
Just quickly, Matt, and I know this is veering off, but it does pertain in terms of idiotic moves by Republicans. This time is on the state level, and I'd be curious about your reaction. The group American Oversight has said they're going to be suing Voss and Company because they are not complying with the open meetings law that Wisconsin has, with this silly little secret panel they have to, quote, advise them on what the criterion is for impeaching Janet Prowitz-Sawicz. And they're going to be meeting over the next several weeks, but they provided no advance notice as per our law. Here's my question for you. How can you go after them? One question. And the second question is to advise them on what the criteria is for impeaching Janet. We already know what it is, don't we? What are they talking about? Why have this meeting? I'd be curious about your reactions. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, excellent question. And I'm going to partially answer now. I'm getting the sign from Cal that I've got to go to a break, so then I'll do the rest afterwards. But we know the criteria. The criteria in the statute. Criteria say a crime or corruption in office, and they don't exist. And then we're going to go to the break, and right after the break, I'm going to tell you about the rest of your question and about that lawsuit. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Don't hang up. I see you out there.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers ending, we'll see clouds and patchy fog around the area. 59 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog, we'll see quite a few clouds around. Chance of showers, especially in the late day. Highs near 68. Right now, it's 61.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matthew and Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to finish answering Joe's question, and then we're going to go right to the lines. Joe, thanks for the call. The criteria in the statute to impeach Janet Protasiewicz or anyone else, there's got to be a crime committed. She's committed none. Or corruption in office. There's no corruption in office. She hasn't done anything in office. So he said, I am going to speak to a couple of Supreme Court justices and it won't be Gableman. That's what he said. Okay. It is a political scam. A couple of old Supreme Court justices, prior Supreme Court justices shooting their mouth off is not the law. Also, the ones he's talking to, David Prosser, for instance, if that's who he's talking to, is the one that didn't run again and was accused of putting his hands around the throat of Ann Walsh Bradley. Oh, great. And then another one would be Pat Rogensack, who is one of the three justices who voted not to certify Joe Biden. She's an election denier. Great. Are you kidding me? So who else if it's not Gableman? Now, several Supreme Court justices came out and said there is no basis to impeach her. And that is Jeanine Gieske and Lou Butler. They're both friends of mine. I know them well. They're very good people. And both of them publicly opined. The lawsuit is basically this. Voss, if you're going to do a sneaky political thing, you're going to claim there's some kind of panel you're going to talk to and you're not going to tell us who it is, and you're going to meet in secret, you can't do that under our laws. You don't want to expose it as a sneaky little political thing, but let's get a judge ordering you to, and then he's got to disclose them and then let us in to see what the meeting is all about. That's what it's about. It's great. What this is political jujitsu or ping pong. He's pulling a sneaky political thing. They are doing a very upstanding political thing and legal thing back against him. The whole thing is a fraud. The impeachment is a fraud. And there's no basis for doing it. And I've advocated that if they impeach, she doesn't step down, that the Supreme Court orders that there's a lawsuit that says that they should be enjoined, orders them to file a brief in 10 days with the grounds, and then enjoin the legislature. They can. They're a co-equal branch of government. If the legislature thinks they're going to shut the Supreme Court down, no way. The Supreme Court should shut the legislature down. They're co-equal. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Criminal at best. It's just a sad thing. And he's going to impeach her because they want to keep control of power in his state. And the same thing is going to happen with Megan. They're going to also impeach her. So it's a sad day for Wisconsin. We desperately need fair maps to correct this situation. Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent comment. Right. They have no basis to impeach either one of them. And so what I've said still stands. If they say we impeach, you got to step down. Supreme Court says no. Enter a temporary restraining order and say, give us the grounds and the crime or the corruption and whatever they come back with. Then you say you can't. You were enjoined from taking further action on the impeachment, and the clerk is enjoined from doing anything to put it into action. And then you put him in jail. You put him in jail if he disobeys that, and he won't. But the important thing is you've got to step up to these people. You can't just say, okay, I'm impeached, so I'm going to, step down for 2 years while the Mayhew pretends to consider it? No way. No way. Tom of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Tom?
Hey there. I have a quick question. When Trump is found guilty, and I'm going to say it like that, I'm assuming he'll definitely appeal. If he appeals, Does that mean he gets to roam free, or will they lock him up?
The judge has the he will appeal. The judge has the discretion to lock him up pending appeal. She doesn't have to let him go. Some judges will. In this one, I don't know what she'd do. If I were the judge, I'd say you're going to jail. Then he'd issue an emergency appeal. And if the appeals court says you have to free him while we do it, so be it. But no, I would not set him free. Absolutely not. The other thing is, just came over the wires, so I'm not going to be able to have much of a chance to talk about this. But apparently that judge in New York came down and is holding Trump liable in that lawsuit brought by Letitia James. Remember, he wanted it dismissed. Well, it came down against him about 10 minutes ago. So you'll probably hear other people talking about this, and I'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Okay, Karina of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. Karina, what's in your mind today?
Hi. Well, you know what? Was that Tommy Tuberville? It's ridiculous and really worrisome for me, because I believe it's a opening. It's a sabotage, and it's an opening for very easy to insert espionage and diversity in the army. I mean, this is he definitely works for somebody, because nobody else would wish it on anyone in their country. For your own country, for your own military power to be completely confused and disoriented who they are and where they live and who they command, it's a sabotage. And yeah, my question is there anyone who can actually tell him, get out, we're going to do it ourselves, or do what we're telling you to do? I mean, Mr.
Yeah, we only have 2 minutes. Let me answer. It's a very good question. That's an important question. Yes, we could get rid of this tomorrow. I fault every one of our senators. They think they're in skull and bones. They think they're a secret society and any one of them can do anything and the rest defer. I saw an interview with Elizabeth Warren the other day. She said, nothing we can do. That's not true. Yes, you can do. There's 51 Democrats. You can easily just say, we're going to push this through. And Moscow Mitch will get up and say, we need cloture. We need 67 votes. Dirty little secret. The majority can get rid of that requirement just by a majority, and they won't do it. Now, maybe it's because Manchin's cinema won't go along. I don't know. But Moscow Mitch could do it. He could sit down with Schumer and say, all right, bring it on, and I will get you 17 Republican votes to bust this Tommy Tuberville, the chicken hawk, and he won't do it. We have three chicken hawks. We have crooked Donald Trump. We have, frankly, insane Paul Gosar, who should be prosecuted for saying that General Milley should be hanged. Crooked, lying Donald Trump should be prosecuted for saying that General Milley should be put to death, murdered. And the chicken hawk Tuberville. The chicken hawk Tuberville, I'll tell you how Ulysses Grant would have dealt with him back in 1865. That's what should have happened to the Tommy Tuberville types. But you're absolutely right. One senator, according to all the other senators, it's okay for him to shut down all our promotions, demoralize our military, and give aid and comfort to Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.